the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is the backdrop, really, to what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. Now, as you're aware, Warmer Baptist Church is 121 years old, and this is the anniversary service. It began its conception back in the late Victorian era. It seems such out of our realm, doesn't it? That long ago, 121 years, a totally different world. What was the world like then? Well, the First World War hadn't happened in 1904. The Russian Revolution hadn't taken place. There was just a field round about. There were no houses. And so it's quite a visionary step for the people of Deal Baptist to say, right, we're going to plant a church in a field. But actually, the railway was coming, and it had already been extended, and fields were being sold off, so it's a visionary step as they planted this church. But what else was it like? Well, most people used Shanks's pony because they didn't have cars. They might have had a bike. They might have had a horse. You never know. Steam train was the mode of travel if you could afford to use it. If you were at home, well, coal would have kept you warm. You might have had a gas light. You might have had a candle, depending on what your situation were. No telephone, no radios, no mobile phones. Can you live without a mobile phone? It's not possible. It really isn't. No laptops, nothing. A totally and utterly different world the church was born into. People didn't travel from Italy to go to church to start with. So, you know, that is a commute, I have to say. That's a pretty good commute. And we can get so nostalgic, can't we? Really nostalgic about the past. And that can happen so easily in an anniversary service. But why on earth do we have them? Why do we have these occasions when we say, oh, the church is 121 years old? It's interesting, actually, isn't it? When you're young, you want to be older and you want to declare, I'm 13 now, I'm a teenager. When you reach about 60, you don't want people to know how old you are. When you top 80, then you tell everyone how old you are. It's a bit of a strange process, isn't it? It's 121 years old. But we do believe these anniversaries are important. Whether you're religious or whether you're not, we mark special occasions because they are significant in our lives. Whether they're happy, whether they're sad, whether they're solemn, whether they're joyful. We don't want to forget what has gone before as well as look to the future. And even though the past might have been painful, we still want to remember that as well as the happy times that we shared. And it's important as part of our culture, as part of us as a nation. They root us, these memories. They give us a place in history. They say in this fleeting life that we have, actually, we were here and we made a difference. We were significant in some tiny way. But also recognise that we are passing and people have passed before us. But they can be a real means of encouragement, a real means of challenge, and really spurring us on as we consider what was achieved and what happened in the past and what we can do as we look to the future. But of course, as I've said, they can be a terrible source of nostalgia. Oh, do you remember when? And we can get locked in the past, which is a great danger. We don't want to be stuck there because as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to be followers of Jesus Christ in the 21st century, not in the 20th, not even in the early 21st century. This is 2025. This is where we are followers of Jesus Christ and how we want to make an impact. And remembering is central to us as a Christian people. It's something we've inherited from the Old Testament and from the Jewish faith. Because they marked what God had done, as well as looking forward to what God was going to do for them and through them. The purpose was that they didn't forget the deliverance of God, the blessing of God, but they looked to move forward in the leading and the guidance of God to bless the world. The purpose was that they would declare the praises of God to all those around. Now, as Christians, we know we've got those key points where we celebrate Christmas. The light of the world became a human being, we heard from that reading. The central act of our worship, communion, is an act of celebration as well as remembrance, as well as looking to go on as followers of Jesus. The fact that we celebrate Pentecost is important. The Holy Spirit coming and enabling us to keep on keeping on, because at times we've just got to do that, just got to stick with it. And the challenge is not to look back, not to preserve the past, but to look forward. Let's face it, you know, this building could fall down, we could blow it up, and it might be a shame because it's 121 years old, but that is not the end of the church. We need to remember that. This building really is not important, apart from the fact that it marks there is a Christian community here. And from here, we go out to be Jesus to the people around us. And the challenge is we don't seek to preserve, we seek to grow and move forward in Christ. To be that light of Christ, because he came into the world as the light, for us to then share that light. When Jesus made that declaration, it wasn't just something, oh, that's an inspired moment. I am the light of the world. It was actually against the backdrop of remembering, because it was against the backdrop of the Jewish festival of Sukkot. A great remembrance, a great time, when they celebrated that temporary living in the wilderness, that temporary period of living in shelters, when they remembered their vulnerability and their dependence upon God, but looked forward to that time when God would bring them into safety and security, bring them into salvation, if you like, and when God will tabernacle, will live with them. It was a festival of joy, of celebration, because God had brought them through this uncertain and difficult time. And they invited the neighbours round about, the Gentile neighbours, you and me, if you like, to come and join in this great celebration. It represented the fact that the nation was supposed to be a light in the darkness. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness covers the earth, thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to your dawning brightness. And in Sukkot, the temple was lit up, and the temple was on the hill in Jerusalem, and there were pillars 15 feet high, and there were burning lamps, and it looked as though the temple was on fire. And against this backdrop that everyone round about could see, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, if you are familiar with John's Gospel, that opening that we had there, is extremely important as a theme in the Bible. That theme of light runs throughout John's Gospel and in the letters of John as well. It begins in 1 John with the declaration, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And there have been some pretty dark times. But the light of Christ has continued to shine. Jesus is described as the Word, the true light that came to give light to the world. John 3 says, the verdict is, light has come into the world, but people prefer darkness instead. The contrast between darkness and light continues throughout. Chapter 9, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Chapter 12, Jesus talks about his impending passion and the fact that people have got the light with them. So while they have the light, walk in it and be that light. And then in John's letters, it picks up that theme of we can't claim to be followers of Jesus if we continue living as we always have lived. That's what Paul was making in that letter to Galatians. We can't go walk with Jesus if we deny that actually there is a problem that Jesus needs to deal with in our lives. We call it sin, whatever you want to call it. It's that distance between us and God and the fact that we know we all fall short in some way. That metaphor of light is fundamentally important. It runs through the prophecy of Isaiah, for example. Isaiah calls the people, walk in the light of the Lord. Chapter 9, you've got a very famous Christmas reading. The people living in the land of darkness, a great light has shone upon them. Isaiah 42 specifically talks about the Messiah being the embodiment of that light to the nations. Isaiah 49, the fact that the light was not just for one nation, but for the whole world. Isaiah 60, I've read. And then if we jump right to the end of the Bible in Revelation 21, 22, we see that the glory of God will be the light by which people live. And the nations will walk in that light. Why this brief run through? Because that theme of light, Jesus, the light of the world, is fundamental to who we are as followers of Jesus. And we are the ones who are called to be the light wherever we find ourselves in the week, because it's not here. You are in a diverse number of places in the week, and that is where you are to be the light. And that is the impact of an anniversary service like this, that Woolmer Baptist Church still stands for the light of Christ. Because you are out there and being that light. So against this backdrop of the Feast of Tabernacles, the temple ablaze, Jesus making this declaration, he takes on that complete role of that servant from Isaiah. He makes the point that he is the fulfillment. No wonder the Pharisees were a bit uppity with him and really weren't terribly happy. But he claims to be the one from God and the one whom we should be following, both now and into eternity. We need to look to the future. We need to think even about the eternal future. Because sometimes when we talk about the light shining, we think, well, where is it? I mean, just look around the world at the moment. Where is it? But that light has not been put out by the darkness of what is going on. That light is still there. And we hold fast to it, and we hold fast to the hope that the light of Jesus brings. We need to look to that future because we know full well that people who do all those things that were listed in Galatians, and we may think, oh, got to deal with something there, and worse, seem to prosper and thrive. Where is the justice, God? What are we holding on to? We know that many people believe that, well, if Jesus really existed, well, he was a good teacher, but really nothing more. Why should we really worry about him apart from perhaps one or two things like love your neighbour? We know that there are people like the traffickers who just seem to get away with whatever they do and enjoy the benefits of their work. We know that people follow the philosophy of eat, drink and be merry because, let's face it, tomorrow you're dead, mate. But we hold on to that hope that Jesus Christ gives of an eternal future when there will be justice, when there will be judgment. I certainly believe in judgment, otherwise there is no justice, is there? And don't tell me you don't believe in judgment because we want judgment to operate within our society when we want people put away. We don't mind pronouncing judgment on others, we just don't want it pronounced on us, thank you. And if we look forward to that eternal hope, that light of Christ, there has to be those dark deeds brought into the light and dealt with. But Jesus says more. You are the light of the world. You. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Think of Sukkot, Jerusalem, can't be hidden when it's a light like that. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So how is your light glorifying your Father in heaven? That's a daily challenge for us all. Whether we're part of Warmer Baptist or we're not, that is a daily challenge. This is part of that candle that was lit in 1904 that became Warmer Baptist Church. The presence of Christ in a field with no houses round about it. A bit like Noah building an ark, really, when there was no sea. But the vision was there, and the church grew and has served and been around in this community all that time. Incidentally, just as an aside, new communities are being planted in all the new housing estates that are going on, round about in different places. Church that I'm incidentally in Gravesend was planting in that big blue water development all around the sort of the big towns that are being built in all the chalk pits. Church planted there to be the light in those places. The advances of humankind, the tragedy, the devastation of war, the impact of disease, all these things have not extinguished the light of Christ. That's because people realise, actually, there is more to life. There is more to life than all those things. There is more to life than the things that we acquire. And you are part of sharing that more to life through the light of Christ. We don't know really what the challenges of the early 20th century were like. We can sort of surmise, and maybe we remember talking to our grandparents, if we go back that far, and so, yeah, I've got an inkling. We don't know what it was like for the predecessors, your predecessors here, what it was like for them planting a church in a new area. But we do know that they were to be those who were the light of Christ in this area and to follow Christ daily as that light. And that is the challenge that has always existed. Challenge for you today is the same challenge that faces churches right across the country. Materialism, indifference, if it's your thing, all well and good, don't bother me. You're still called, in the face of that, to be the light of Christ. Let your light shine before people so they may see the good you do and glorify your Father in heaven. If sometimes you feel this is jolly hard work, and actually we're quite a small bunch really, just think about that New Testament church that started out that was a really small bunch. I was existing in a much tougher world, and yet that light just grew and grew and grew. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into this world. His light, life, is the light of all humankind. And in all the centuries, although the darkness has actively, proactively sought to extinguish that light, it has never happened. The light still draws people to himself across the world, in our own country, in our own community. And you are part of that. Amen.